This is RSVNB Update, episode 476, recorded Friday, August 1st, 2014. Victory is life. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us this evening on the RSVNB Update. This week on this podcast, you have Colton, a member Hello. Of the RSVNB community, and I guess you could call him a frequent spider slayer now. So welcome to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Kill it with fire.
And of course, that's Trekkie, who is pretty much always here.
Kill it with fire!
So, how are we doing this week?
Pretty good.
I died.
Doing the, trying to kill the spider, I assume.
No, I went over there and tried to punch it with my fist, and my fist said, ow, and next thing I know, I got two giant fangs that said, you become tasty snack. Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, fists don't work too well against the Araxor.
Yes, so, Araxor. This is the new spider boss built for soloing and duoing. You can find it along the eastern coast of Mauritania, so just head south there from Port Phasmades. And this is an interesting boss in that as you progress through killing it numerous times, the difficulty increases, which I don't think that's a mechanic we've seen before now, have we?
No, we have not.
So, first off, let's get some basics about this boss. A quick rundown from the top. Are there any specific combat types that we want to avoid using?
Typically, you're going to want to probably avoid using melee. Ranged has been sort of the established best style, dual wielding in particular, considering we already have level 90 dual wielding crossbows, and magic doesn't seem to work quite as well, so ranged is typically the way to go. In terms of stats, you're probably going to want 95 plus in ranged and defense if you're using that style, but you can use magic. I mean, it's possible. Prayer, you're probably going to want some high level prayers. High level summoning is going to help you because you're going to need a beast of burden because this fight is long and it's intense and it's going to take you a lot of food. Also, 96 Herblore is really suggested because especially with the magic variant of the spider, because there are three variants, its special ability on its passive on regular attacks is that it drains your stats. And so having the overloads to constantly boost the stats back up is really going to help you out in the long run and with the longevity of the fight.
All right,
In terms of gear, you can pretty much go with whatever you want. It's been done with several different types. I typically like to use Death Lotus with War Priest, gloves, boots, and helm, just because it gives a pretty good chance that Sarah Doman might protect me. I don't know. I like to use a Phoenix Necklace because I'm a bit of a wuss. And so if for some reason I mess up, the Phoenix Necklace typically likes to save me, so that helps. Ring of Vigor is helpful for the last phase, but I can get to that later. In terms of auras, though, things like Penance, Vampirism, and Sharpshooter are probably going to help you out the most because it does a lot of damage, so it's going to heal you a lot of prayer points. The extra healing for Vampirism will help, and also it's got a high defense, so Sharpshooter definitely increases your accuracy. For weapons, it's the sad thing about this boss is it started out where it was almost requisite that you needed dual-wield ascensions, or at least a main-hand ascension and an offhand chaotic crossbow. However, now that people have started to get down the mechanics, there are people doing it out there with royal crossbow and dual chaotic crossbow, so that's definitely possible. And if you're good at it and good at switching to it, you can bring along a shield and use resonance to heal at some points. And but I'm not too good about that, so I just sort of leave that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, what is the combat level of this boss creature, just for the record, in terms of where it fits with everything else?
I believe it is 2,500.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty high. And then later on, Araxor is actually not the final boss. You get to fight, plot twist. Araxi, I think, is level 3,000, but I can't. It's sad because I've killed it so many times, so you think I would know, but...
Yeah, you don't pay attention to those details when you're trying to get it done.
Yeah. Things you're going to want to bring, obviously, overloads, prayer renewal. You're probably only going to want to need one flask of each. And then prayer potions, Serodomen brews are really helpful because they keep your adrenaline up and you can just spam them, especially if they're on your ability bar. Anti-poison.
And with overload, they don't really drain as much, or not drain
exactly.
at all.
Yeah, precisely. An anti-poison for the last phase. Phoenix necklaces, if you're feeling like you may need them. And the rest you're going to want to fill with rock tails. And if you are using that Ring of Vigor, you only need one dose of adrenaline potion. I'll sort of get to that later, the technique that is used. But for abilities on your ability bar... you're typically going to want to use full manual and have a lot of different books open, but I'm kind of lazy and I like to use Revolution and it works for me. So I like to have anticipation and freedom to avoid some of the deadly specials that the spider can use. If you're going to use a shield, have resonance and the shield on the bar so you can quick switch and res. And other than that, just regular basic abilities and a few thresholds. And death swiftness is always nice, as well as having your brews and your food choice on that action bar, just so you can spam if needed.
All right. And for anybody wondering, we will put together a picture or something on the action bar sharer of all the gear once this has been released out to you guys this Saturday to listen to. I just wanted to ask... You know, given that these combat bosses are the highest level that we can be doing at this time, and we seem to be creating always something that I felt has been a problem with the way bosses are introduced in this game, is we're creating a dependency on combat, and the skills are kind of ignored. So are the skills ignored in this boss fight? So let's say you get the components you need to make a weapon. Are you going to just be given this weapon, or do you actually need to have some secondary skills to put it together and make it?
I don't
for
believe...
the spider leg stuff. It's
yeah,
that you do. You for a spider leg, I was looking at that yesterday. You actually need one of them. You need a 92 crafting to make them.
Oh wow.
Which is good for me. let me double check on that.
Okay, that's good then. And then I would assume you'd need something relevant in the other skills to make the magic and then the melee one, because of course crafting, that's obviously for the ranged one, I would assume. Just assuming here, but that's what my logic
here,
tells me based on what I know.
So for the noxious weaponry, you make these weapons, you need to have the spider leg, which is a drop. You need to three other parts, the spider leg, top, middle, and bottom, which is also a drop, or from looting from the chest. And you add parts of the body, I believe, to the weapon, and you make whatever it is, depending on your crafting level.
The
so
eye,
they're all made by crafting.
The eye, the web, and the fang are the three different little... parts of the body that you can add on to make the weapon. The spider leg comes in three different parts. Each part you get from a different path. So yeah, that's the drop mechanic.
I thought it was better chance of grabbing a certain one depending on the path.
No, that is how you it depends on which variant you're killing. Say I'm killing the magic version of Araxor, the one that attacks primarily with magic. If I defeat him and then defeat Araxi, I have a higher chance of getting the eye, because that makes the magic weapon, rather than getting the web or the fang, because that makes the range and the melee weapon. So it depends on the weapon determining piece, not the legs. The leg piece is completely determined by the path you're on.
Okay.
So let's take this and talk a bit about the paths here. We have three paths that we can go down, right?
Yeah. And
maybe we should start back from the very beginning before we get to the path. When you go in, how? Because I was there yesterday. Literally, there's not an instance, unless you want to pay the 250,000 GP in order to make a courageous little instance. But from what I was noticing is when I tried to go in, they said someone else is in there, please wait. So I did jump a couple worlds. It's only one person per server at a time.
The thing is that you can actually get around that. Not completely. You still have to pay 200K. But if you have a really nice friend, or if you can find someone that will come in with you and stay in your instance, you can have your own instance open for that hour, and it will keep spawning them no matter how many times you lobby or how many times you kill it. Because a lot of times, actually, people will get to the web they want to burn, wait, and see which one drops. And based on the color of the legs, they can tell. And if they get often a melee one, they'll go to the lobby and it'll spit them back out the room. They'll go back in the instance and try and get a mage or a ranged one, which is a lot easier to kill.
Oh, so you have a friend who's in there, and have a friend who's in there that, but it's not doing anything?
Yeah. they can just AFK, or you can, because technically multi-logging is even though it is a little bit taboo, it's now allowed. So if you do have another account that's a member that can do that, you can just have your other account just sit there, and it'll keep the instance open, and you can keep joining it to get the spawns you want. So that can speed things up a bit and cheapen the cost of the instance.
And we'll just say that multi-logging in is still listed in the rules as something you don't want to do, even though, you know, there have been various posts on the forums by various JMods saying things contrary to that rule, but I feel we should just point to the rules at this time and use your best judgment.
Proceed at your own risk.
Okay. So, want to start by first phase of the spider before we get to the path?
So basically what happens is you jump into that first room, and it's sort of like, I don't know, just throwing a gladiator to their death. And it's sort of scary, but you jump into the pit and you run over to whatever web or whatever path you want to open, because there are three paths and they alternate. It started out that path one and path two were open, but now path two and path three are open. But regardless, you sit there and the spider drops down and you start attacking it. And basically in this phase one, it's pretty simple. All he does are three different special attacks. The first one is a cleave attack. And what he does is, if you're attacking from range, he'll pull you in. And he'll really lurch back and start to swing his arms towards you. And at that point, you want to run away. As long as you're spam clicking away, you're going to be fine. If you, for some reason, don't, then you may get smacked pretty hard. And especially if you're at the highest level of enraged, then that's easily a one hit. But so avoid that at all costs. Another one is what he'll do is he'll sort of summon some spiders, and they'll put you up in a cocoon, and you have to spam click away. And after you spam click, you can release yourself, but it's constantly damaging you. But if you, before that, use anticipation or freedom, it greatly shortens the amount of time you have to spend in that cocoon. And the last special in that phase is the web heal. And basically what he'll do, he'll kind of scrunch up and he'll take this web blanket thing and cover himself with it and start healing 1K every few ticks for a total of 5K. And if you attack him with zero enraged, it'll only, whatever you hit, it'll bounce back and it'll reflect to you for half the damage. But at 150% enraged, it hits you for twice the amount you hit. So it's not advised that you attack at that point. It's probably a good idea just to lay off. And
lay off
that
and heal
phase,
up.
Yeah. Drink some brews, you know, grab stuff from your yak. But that phase is 100,000 life points, and it takes a little bit, and takes a little bit to get used to, but it is by far the easiest phase, to which you would then move on to your path, which do you want me to get into that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so day one, and soon path one was open, and basically if you burn that web, which takes a minute, so if you enter the battle and you get the spawn you want, burn the web immediately. That covers the path that you want, because it'll take 60 seconds to burn down completely and free up the path. So okay. Do that and then deal with him. And then with
okay.
path one, you'll go down and
miss.
What I like to do is just sort of go down the path a little bit, and it'll come up with this message on your screen saying that Araxor is about to like spawn minions or something. And then I like to run back into the main room that you did phase one in, because it's a lot more open and it's less narrow. It's just easier to deal with the minions. And what he does is he'll spawn 20 minions. So you've got to deal with him, and you've got to deal with the minions as well.
And, so a lot of AoE.
Well, when the minions are down. And if you see eggs drop, he'll release a fireball. And basically what you do is you run over to those eggs and let yourself get hit by the fireball, and it'll destroy those eggs. If you don't destroy the eggs, it just adds the amount of minions you had to kill, and that's just a pain. A couple things you really need to watch out for in these phases are light-colored little minion spiders that are called mirror-back spiders. And if you attack Araxor at all while one of these is out, then everything you hit on Araxor will be reflected back to you, and it is very painful. So kill that one as fast as possible. Also, if you see one with a big red back, it's called a pulsing spider. You got to kill that one quick too, because it'll start healing Araxor, and that's never good. On this phase, Araxor will still use his cocoon and the web heal, but he will not use the cleave at this point. And once all 20 minions have spawned and you've killed them all, you can DPS Araxor as much as you want all the way down, or if not, you can just deal with that in the next phase. Then you'll just move down the tunnel and move to the third phase. The
Is
second
there anything
path,
we need to be careful of in the tunnel? After
in,
we
in the
kill
first tunnel?
Brought out, yes.
No, not really. Just watch out for his special attacks, because it's just an empty tunnel. And if you do phase one in the tunnel, it's really not going to hurt you. It's just a little bit more cramped, in my opinion. So it's just easier in the big room. I don't know. That's just me. But if you choose instead to go with path two from phase one, this is still phase two. It's just a different path. Basically, what you're going to see ahead of you is this big acid pool. And what you're going to have to do is lure Araxor into the acid pool by sort of backing up and attacking him and sort of bringing him into it. And once you got him in there, he's got to stay in there as long as you can. Keep him in there as long as you can until he gets up to about 70% acidic or so. There will be a little bar up in the top, and you can hover over it, and it'll tell you how acidic Araxor is. And then what you're going to want to do is take him up to the top of this bridge. And either you or Araxor needs to be directly adjacent to a stone piece at the top. And if you're not, then it's just going to drain off and it's not going to do anything. But if you're adjacent, then the acid will corrode the bridge and will allow you to move on to the next phase. I would advise doing this as fast as possible. Don't even worry about the hit points on Araxor. Just do this as quick as possible, because throughout this phase, he can do the web heal that you saw earlier. He can do the cleave. He can spawn the eggs, which you have to burn. And he can also do this fun little attack where he spawns what people have so kindly called kamikaze spiders. And
Oh,
basically what
yes,
they're,
those.
they're very annoying. And a lot of times they'll spawn either on top of you or below Araxor, so you don't see them until the very last second. And basically what they do is they're like those exploding
Spranglings.
glacites, except on steroids, because even if their bar isn't full yet, if they're next to you, they will blow up. And they're
Spranglings,
very
there,
painful.
Shane.
Yes,
they're like
that's a perfect analogy for that.
So that's stay away from those. If you see a little blue bar come up, run away, run away, run away, because it's not worth staying where you are. So that's all I have to suggest for phase two and path two. And for the last path,
The middle path,
mm-hmm.
is there anything that you can do to make the little explodey things explode on something else rather than you, or do you just need to get
you
up
just
there?
Need to run away, because they will explode. They'll either explode on you or they'll just explode after their bar fills up, and that's just it. Yeah. So basically, that's it for phase two, path two. But phase two, path three is probably, in the opinion of most people, the easiest of
really
all of them. Yeah, because you don't have to deal with the Raxor himself the entire time. If you're scared of the dark, though, beware of this this phase.
What?
Because basically you go down the third tunnel, and what happens is everything goes black. Well, you can still see, but it's darkened out. And what happens is in this pretty long tunnel, there's going to be a little spotlight, and it'll damage you a little bit if you're in the dark, and it'll keep increasing and increasing. Until the spot moves, and you're going to want to have to run to those spots back and forth. And at the same time, you're going to have to, he's going to drop eggs, and you're going to have to burn those. And sometimes you're going to have to jump out of the spotlight and get hurt a little bit, but that's what brews are for. And at the same time, he's also going, even though he's not actually directly attacking you, so you don't have to deal with any of his attacks, he's going to sort of shoot some attacks at you. And so you're going to have to pray flick between ranged and mage. The mage one is like this sort of glowing fireball deal that comes at you. They're pretty slow, so they're pretty easy to catch and to flick between. And the ranged one is sort of this little webby blob deal. And so just avoid that stuff, stay in there. And then at some point throughout the phase, it's basically time-based, what'll happen is it'll say Araxor prepares to come down and charge. And what he'll do is it'll flip to this like cutscene type thing where he's charging straight at you, and his little pincer deals will go a certain way. And if they go to the left, you spam click your arrow key to the left. If they go to the right, you spam click your arrow key to the right. If his pincers
Wait, wasn't
go
the other way around?
No, I know. It seems odd because when I first did this phase, I did that, and then it hits you for 2.5K. And
Ow.
The wall only degrades by 25% instead of 50%, which happens if you do it properly. If his pincers go wide, spam click up. If his pincers go down, spam click down. It seems backwards, but that's how it works. And so you basically just avoid him and get him to smack into a wall. And if you do it properly, it'll only take two times. And then you move on to phase three, where basically...
So that part is like a little RS version of a QuickTime event.
Yeah, exactly. And phase three is sort of interesting. It's a bit of a combination of whatever two phases are open. And right now, path two and path three are open. So what you've got is the darkness and the acidity that you have to deal with. If you didn't get him all the way up to the acidity level of 100% and drain all that on the bridge, which no one really does because that's really hard to do, he'll summon these acidic spiders, and what you have to do is lure them under him. It's really easy. But with the darkness, one of his special attacks that he'll do is he'll darken things out and there'll be a spotlight. It'll damage you often. You can pretty much tank it, so it's really not a big deal, especially if you're far away. In this phase right now, you'll get those kamikaze spiders, so watch out for them again. Also the eggs, And you'll still get the cleave, the cocoon, and the web heal special attack. So you've basically got to DPS him all the way down from another 100,000 life points to move on to the phase four, which is, at least day one, seemed like it was something thought up of by the devil himself. And basically what happens is you'll defeat, quote unquote, you'll get an XP drop after phase three, and you'll ride over onto this platform where Araxor, the first three kills, you have to watch the cutscene, which is a bit of a pain because you don't get to brew up and take things from your familiar. But you watch this cutscene where Araxor sort of slowly gets onto the platform and he is all bedraggled. And then from the sky comes, boom, this other spider, and it jumps on him and it like sucks out his, what looks like his brains. I don't know. And it's speculated that it is a female spider and it's like the queen. Mm. It's Araxai. And this is the higher level
of the
one.
Spider people.
Yeah, she's a little scary. Basically what happens is she'll start out at 100,000 life points. What you're going to want to do is brew up and make sure you're healing. And this is where the Jad plus Corp plus everything else from the previous phases comes in, except for the kamikaze spiders, which don't come in, so that's really nice. But brew up and get your prayer up, because you're going to need to be flicking between mage and range, and she will detect which one you're praying, so you're going to have to flick back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth consistently.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's really fun. So I actually have my interface set up really wacky where my prayer is all shrunk to where I just have those deflect prayers, and they're right next to my ability bar, so I can just click them back and forth.
Oh, okay. You know, I thought we were done with that kind of mechanic with the evolution of combat.
Yeah, and you can put those on your ability bar, and that makes it pretty easy, if I'm real honest. But I don't have the room on my ability bar, so I just make use of my mouse. And I'm a mouse player more than a keyboard player anyway, so it's all right to me. So basically, from 100,000 to 50,000 life points, she'll still do the web heal, the cocoon, and the cleave attacks that Araxor does. And she'll also, at this point, she'll do the darkness things again with the spotlight that you have to run into. But I don't like to do that, because then you have to get really close to her, and then you can't see the attack that she's using, and it makes prayer flicking really difficult, so I just tank it anyway. And once you get to 50,000, it says Araxai has become enraged, and basically what happens is her she no longer does those specials, so she's just shooting you with her regular attacks, but they hurt a lot more. And so probably the best ability to use at the beginning of this phase is devotion, so that you can sort of curb the amount of damage you're going to be taking.
100% prayer protection.
Mm-hmm. For was it 10 or 15 seconds? Yeah, but whatever it is, it's very helpful, and it prevents a little bit of the brew spamming. Make sure your prayer is up, all that lovely business. And then DPS her down to about, what the technique that I use at least, is I take her down to about 32,000 life points, and then I use Death Swiftness as soon as I can. And once you summon that little swirly thing and you get her down to 25,000, she spits out her putric acid, dark core type thing, which will bounce around five times and will then hit you. And if you move one square away, it'll bounce around again. So first day, people were running all around the arena like, what's going on? But now you just calm down and you let it hit you once and you move away. But if you're wearing the Ring of Vigor and you Death Swiftness, right when the putric acid comes out, she'll drain your adrenaline. So what I do is I sip the adrenaline dose, and it gets me up to threshold before the core can even get to me. So I can typically rapid fire and take her pretty close to dead. And one of the things that is very advisable to use is a Sign of Death. And a lot of people have found this as their saving grace, and it saved me on a few kills, I'll admit, is that if you still have your Sign of Life on and it's not off cooldown, or it is off cooldown, and she's under 10k and she kills you, it will kill her. Because the sign of life, yeah, it works. It'll heal you however much you are damaged, and 10% of the max HP of the creature that killed you, that damage is dealt to that creature. So 10k damage for Araxi. If you have her below 10k and you're wearing a sign of death, you're pretty much okay. You can suicide if you want. I prefer not to. I just like to finish off the kill. But yeah, that's a safety net that people have used. But after you're done, she kind of gives out this little shriek of pain and then flops on the ground, and you get to loot her corpse. So
you get the items.
Yes, it actually says search Araxi's corpse. That is the click
so,
you have to make.
So in a nutshell, the stuff we're finding is from previous adventurers who thought there was another mini boss and failed, basically became a snack.
That could be, because I mean you can get like overloads and cerebrews and rocktails and things like that from her.
Well, then that's entirely true.
Yeah. You can also get
she
parts of her.
She was hungry.
But yeah, a lot of people have been comparing her to the Lord of the Rings.
I'm glad you got that reference. Shane doesn't.
Nope.
Oh, Shane. Come on. So is there anything else you guys want to know?
On average, how long does a kill take?
Oh, see, this is where it becomes embarrassing for me. Because I'm not the fastest. I am competing with some people in my clan. And I've seen people do about 7 to 8, 9 minute kills. I typically, my best kill time right now is 9:35.
That's still good.
It's decent, but consistently I'd say I'm around 12, 14, especially because most of my kills when I'm farming are at the max level of enraged. So you're spending a lot more time on your guard. And because if you make one mistake at 150 enraged, you're basically dead. One cleave and it's gone. I've been hit with 9.8k cleaves before, and it doesn't taste so good.
Oh, wow.
So, is it good to have her enraged, or is it good to try and keep it low somehow?
The thing is that you can't keep it low if you're good at it. The enraged is based off of how many kills you've done, and this is the anti-farming technique. It works for some people because some people can't do the 150 enraged, but I'm able to get pretty consistent 150 enraged kills. I'm pretty proud to say. But basically what happens is it'll start at 0% enraged, and after you kill Araxor once, it'll go up to 15, and then 30, 45, 60, all the way up to 150. And at 150, the base damage is 2.5 times the amount of the base damage from 0% enraged. So like you can see it with the cocoon. Because when you get cocooned, every tick on 0% enraged, you get hit. Or wait, no, it's 1.5 times. Or 2. Regardless, every tick you get hit 200. And then on 150 enraged, you get hit 500 every tick. So it's a significant increase.
Hmm.
Makes it very difficult for some people.
Can I do this? With a royal crossbow and the non-player-owned ports armor?
Probably. I would recommend, if you're going to use something, I'd say Carol's, because tank is going to help you a little better.
Remember that with the combat updates that we got in the middle of July, there is a damage reduction now for PVM tank armor.
You see a lot of people, especially, and that's probably why I don't get as fast at kills, because I'm using tank and hybrid armor. A lot of my friends will use Cyrenic because it's a lot more DPS, but it's a lower damage reduction, which I like, especially on the higher enraged levels, and it helps me at least get more consistent kills. So I would recommend tank armor, especially for your first kills.
So you have two sets of armor, or just carry one?
Just one set of armor, because I wear Death Lotus chest and chaps, and I wear the helm, gloves, and boots of Cerodome and Warpriest, because a lot of times you'll see that shield come up and it's like, oh, I just got my butt saved. So that's kind of nice. But you can wear full Death Lotus. You can wear full Serenic. It's really not a big deal. It just makes a little more of a difference that first kill, because that's the hardest one to get, because you're going to try several times. I think it took me 8 or 9 attempts before I was able to finally take her down on phase 4. And then I still wasn't able to get any consistent kills. I was still dying pretty consistently even after that. So it takes a bit of perfecting. That's why things are going for such high prices, and there aren't nearly as many people doing it as there were doing it the first day. So
have you tried duoing?
No, I have not. I do have a few friends that are doing it for themselves, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just not a trustworthy person. I just feel like I can do it myself, so why even have someone else? I've also heard that duoing is a bit harder, because you do have to rely on that other person, and it does take teamwork. And I'm not
we've
used
heard that
to.
Too.
I'm not used to doing team PVM. I do a lot of solo stuff. I do QBD, solo Armadale. I'll occasionally do stuff like Nex, but other than that, I like to be a lone wolf.
All right. What happens when you die?
Oh, when you die, you will either spawn in, well, after you get past your little screen. You'll spawn in either Caniphus or Varrock. It seems random. I don't know why it sometimes will put my hub at Varrock and sometimes will put my hub at Caniphus. I'm not sure. But you'll spawn there. You'll have your items. And then you better hurry your butt up or hope that someone's going to bless you, because, and even with the 15-minute dwarven grave, just running from Caniphus, my grave has gotten down to 4 minutes, just running and using surge and everything, tryharding it all the way, because basically what happens is this acidic spider will come out, and you cannot attack it, you can't do anything to it, it'll just start eating away, and it'll start chunking off time and time again, like,
oh my.
30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, 30 seconds, and it's rapid, and it's like, oh, crap, get back to my grave, quick, someone bless me, please. Yeah.
Is the grave inside or outside?
It is kind of funny, and I like how they've done this. Basically, when you right-click on the cave to go into the actual fight, there's the second option is enter graveyard, but if it can sense if you've already died, if you've just died. And so if you left-click Enter Cave, it will give you a little chat screen that says, are you sure you want to proceed or do you want to go to the graveyard? And it'll take you into this big room where there's a rope in the middle, and you'll find your grave at some point in there. Day one, there were quite a few in that room. And nowadays, you may see one or two or three, but it's not nearly as bad because a lot of people have given up. And the ones that have not given up don't die nearly as often. So, but it's all still right. A scary mechanic if no one blesses you.
According to Mod Crissel, Araxor has 23 different mechanics, which is much more different than Virago.
Mm-hmm.
So, would using the Ectophial give you little bit more time to get to the grave?
What do you mean?
Like, you ever did the Ectophil, or did you just run from Caniphus?
You got to run from Caniphus. You don't have time to get to a bank. Or do you mean keeping the Ectophil with you while you fight? I wouldn't advise that, especially if you're wearing degradables, because I've got dual ascensions and Death Lotus. And my four things that I want to protect are those dual wields and the ascension, or the dual wield ascensions and the Death Lotus chaps and the chest plate. So I would prefer not to hold on to that Ectophile. And I also like to have that extra space, because there have been, well, first day especially, there were a couple kills that I did where I was literally out of food and just barely finished it. So if you may want that extra space, it may be needed. The Ectophile, if you are really concerned, you could keep it on you. You can't tele out of the boss room. Once you go in
Right.
there is no going out once you're in combat. You
Victory or
can't.
death.
Yes. There is a lobbying technique to getting the spawn that you want, but that's the only way you can get out.
And victory is life, because you go into battle, you're dead. Otherwise, you go into battle and you reclaim your life. Therefore, victory is life.
Yes.
Alrighty. Let's see, is there anything else we need to cover? I think we've covered this quite extensively. And of course, you get the level 92 handers from this related to each of the skills, magic,
Yes.
ranged, and melee. Any other notable rewards?
You'll get loot. They're actually going to be buffing it. They have come out and said that because with instance costs and with how long the battle takes, it's really not that much more loot on average than QBD loot. So they have said that they'll buff it, but I'm hoping they don't for a while because I want the weapons to stay as high as possible because that is what I am currently hunting. Because I currently have the bottom piece from the third path, and I also have the web to make the bow. But I have been farming
So you need two
that.
more pieces then.
Yes, I need the middle piece and the top piece. The middle piece is kind of making me nervous right now because as we are recording this, I only have about like 20 hours to get it, and I have been about 50 kills without it, and it has been making me very sad. And if I don't get it, then it would significantly decrease my capital gain. But I mean, hey, if I don't, I don't. If I do, I do. The alleged drop rate for the leg pieces is around 1 in 10 or 1 in 15. And
1 in 10.
they're much more common than a lot of things. But the stick
Interesting.
will probably go down. The actual pieces of the weapon are a little less common. And you got to keep in mind that
It's a long time to kill.
it takes a long time to kill. And there aren't going to be many people doing this after this. It's only the real hardcore people who are really dedicated, who really want to make the money from these weapons. So,
Or really want a challenge.
And I find it a fun fight. I mean, that's just me. It's a little nerve-wracking at some points, but hey, keeps you on your toes.
All
Well,
right.
thanks,
I don't.
101, Duckwa. It was a nice little
So, is there
monologue.
anything else you want to mention regarding Araxor before we move on to the rest of this week's updates?
Not really. I mean, it's fun. Just expect to die a lot. I think that's my main message.
Expect to die a lot. All right. Well, so there's
Famous
RuneScape's
last
newest
words.
boss encounter. Next up this week, we have the Twitch integration. All
Twintegration.
right. Before we get too far down this path and talk about Twitch and RuneScape in general, can somebody explain to me what do we watch on Twitch?
People playing video games.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
but on RuneScape.
People
Personally?
who are going PKing.
Yeah, in general, because, I mean, based on what I do on RS, I don't exactly think that I would find anything on Twitch that interesting to watch.
I mean, there are some interesting streamers out there. I mean, there are some people who will do PVM, but the Iron Man has become really popular, and especially, and I know that it's a bad word, but the old school community has really embraced it. And I've got to admit, although I don't like old school and what it stands for, I'm a pretty big fan of the Bodhi streams where he will do his one man army series where he's all on his own and at the mercy of the game. And it's interesting seeing people do sort of those emerging gameplay sort of things. And I don't know. That's That's what I feel like is the main appeal.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, unless it's like a high-paced video game like StarCraft or something, I've just never felt as though streaming on RuneScape is something that can draw an audience. But evidently people can, and maybe I should watch some of these, but it just doesn't make sense to me at this time.
And
So.
it's not for everyone. I mean, I don't actively watch it while I'm actually playing RuneScape because I'm not a very good person at multitasking and I'm not often doing any AFK skilling. But if I'm just chilling at home or if I'm just chilling on the computer, I'll just turn it on because a lot of them, some of them have really good music and then they'll do some commentary and some funny stuff. It's just a different form of entertainment and it's not for everyone, really.
Okay. Well, with this, you're able to enter in your Twitch username and password if you have it, and then you just press a button and you're off to the races streaming. And there's also a list of all the current people streaming RuneScape that appears in the Twitch panel, and then you can just go in there and choose which one you want to watch, and it'll open up your web browser. And of course, it also shows all the number of people watching them, and it's a good form of publicity for streamers, I guess.
Yeah. You think they're trying to do more community-based integration, like just get the people who are want to become a little more famous to go on try Twitch. And I think they probably have a little incentive for getting Twitch to host them to integrate this with Twitch. I mean, you increase publicity of the game itself as well, including the players.
Yeah,
And
that's true.
keep in mind, you've always been a big proponent of trying people to come back to RS, try it out after all the new stuff, new changes after the past couple of years. So
And
it's maybe.
honestly, that's one of the cool things that you get with some of the streams is that you'll see people say, "Oh, this brought me back to the game. I've missed this for so long." And it's like, "Oh, you've inspired me to play again." And that's really cool to see.
Okay, so now another question to you guys. Would anyone have an interest in some sort of non-PVM based streaming? I don't know if that exists or what that would
Would
consist
be
of, but.
PKing.
Well,
Well,
I don't know.
non-PVM, non-PKing.
Yeah,
That doesn't look
actually,
like paint
that's
drying on the
part of what
wall.
the Iron Man is. People will watch some of those guys like sit and mine pure essence for hours on end. It's kind of crazy to think that 5,000 people will be consistently watching someone mine pure essence, but it happens just because people are intrigued by the it has to be the right streamer. Because if they have a good commentary, it's not just about playing RuneScape, it's also about being an entertainer and having good music and
Oh-wee-oh.
interacting with the chat.
Oh-wee-oh. Yo-ho. Actually, what I
I don't
think they
think
would
that'll cut
probably.
it.
But I think one thing I would like to see people do is kind of do like a video quest guide. That would be interesting for people to see the other issues. It would be nice to Jack and let us do quests again, have people do speed runs. See who can complete the quest the fastest, find the shortest cuts, glitches, and everything else in the game.
You're remembering that's what old school is supposed to be for, right?
No, old school is for people who can't accept change.
Okay, so Colton, are you going to be streaming anything at all, or?
Personally, I doubt it because I don't think I could be an entertainer just because I don't know. When I'm playing RuneScape, I'm very, very focused on RuneScape, so. I don't know. I doubt it.
All right. Well, maybe RSBNB update should do something. I don't know what we would do, but if anybody has any ideas, just throw them out there. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, poke, poke.
Cool.
Pokey, pokey, poke.
All right, this week we also got the lobby refresh, in which the lobby has been made to look like the rest of the game, a little bit less brown. Some new graphics, some more community integration type stuff. I think I gotta say there's some good things about this design and some bad things about this design. I think the colors
It's not big
that are
enough.
used. okay, there's one idea right there. Make it more free flow resizable. But one of my main complaints with it is that the color variation between tables and parent elements is just not enough to show a differentiation right there. And if you're on a darker screen, it's kind of hard to see some of the things going on as to where the table starts and where it is not. So that's just a little bit of a usability thing right there. Another thing that is just burning at my eyes so much is the blue and white RuneScape icon for the worlds that show up in your friends list now. Mm-hmm. Anybody else feel those are a little bit too bright and don't exactly create the right balance?
The blue R icon thing?
Yes.
I don't get the point of those. I'm guessing maybe they're thinking about the old school and maybe the Transformers in the future. Or if anybody ever still does the whole Fun Orb. Anybody does Fun Orb anymore?
I don't know.
But,
could be.
But it's just... I find it a little unnecessary considering that most people know if looking at it, hey, he's on that world on RS. I kind of doubt... I don't think they need that kind of big of a logo. It's actually more distracting because... You're basically taking up space. That's the only thing it's needed.
Yeah, and I mean, it doesn't fit within the graphics of RuneScape. There is nothing that bright in-game that is a non-character, community-based feature. So that's what we're saying here, is that it's just a little bit too much. And I've actually resized down my world column to the point where it doesn't show the icons anymore. So, Colton, you have any thoughts on the lobby?
I don't know. I don't have any profound opinions, I guess. I kind of like the new look. I feel like it, I don't know, goes a little bit more with the current. I feel like it could have done better. I've seen posts on Reddit of better designs for the lobby, but I feel like it was overall an improvement. Obviously, there are flaws in anything Jagex does and anything anyone does because you can't please everyone all the time. So, I don't know. I think I'm not too fussed about it because I only see the lobby for about 5 seconds and then I'm in game. So,
yeah, and to be fair, the complaints we've raised are very minor and could ultimately be fixed up a bit. So
more graphical.
Yeah, and we're not going to belabor the lobby point that much since we're already pretty far into the show here. But anyways, next up, tweaks and fixes. Bonds are now kept in a dedicated inventory.
Woohoo!
The auto action bar setup has been updated to select a better DPS setup. So seeing this is what I've mentioned before with people coming back to the game. You equip weapons, you say set up my action bar, and there you go. Off to the races with Revolution, so I'm very happy about that one. And made Revolution begin firing abilities faster to prevent Revolution from not starting for a couple rounds after combat.
Yes! Finally.
Oh, man.
I use Revolution all the time.
Yeah, it really is something that we've all taken a liking to around here. You guys have anything else from the patch notes that jumped out at you this week?
Yeah, a little bit more of legacy, but why don't you go first? Why don't you go first? There we go. Mm-hmm. Need this.
Nothing really to me.
Let's see. Most of some of them were legacy fixes, which we won't really go that much into. Which one was the one I was looking at? I guess it was Void Knight Armor. Let's see. We changed the Lego mode. Combat XP option was now set to the non-defensive option. I guess a lot of peers got angry when they got defense points.
The Void nerf
that would be true.
The Void nerf is interesting, but...
What did they do to those?
Rebalanced. Oh.
Yeah, it's the effect that the damage and the accuracy of the set effect has been decreased to like, what, 1% and 3%? And a lot of people have been complaining, and but to be fair, a lot of people were complaining before that Void was overpowered for being something you didn't have to spend any money on and just had to sort of sit at pest control, which at this point is pretty easy to do. So in my opinion, it was a little OP, and that the nerf was justified, but some people were not so happy about it. With every update, every nerf, every buff has people who are mad, people who are pleased, so.
Yeah, you can't really, look too hard on game balance things. I think overall, RuneScape does balance their game effectively, compared to some other games out there. I mean, we have absolute stories around here of game mechanics just being completely wiped off the map for one portion of the population in order to, fix a perceived bug with some other mechanic out there. And I mean, Jagex really hasn't done that all that much. Like, if they were to do something like that, that would be the equivalent of saying that if you've got a certain weapon equipped, strength bonuses don't mean anything. You have an infinite strength bonus, that sort of thing. So I just want everyone to have a takeaway here that, RuneScape balancing is something that's been going on for so long now. They've got it finally tuned. It's the same guy that's been doing it all the time, Mod Timbo. Good hello out there to him. Just he does a great job in what he does.
He does.
All right. I think that's it for tweaks and fixes. So, what's next?
What's next? We have the character name cleanup. They've gotten rid of a batch of people names that have been inactive, mostly from A to C. Wonder if that counts with numbers.
I don't think so.
Yeah, they would probably say if that was the case.
Because some people do have
But
numbers in the very beginning.
yeah. Maybe that'll be at the end.
Well.
But A to C. That would definitely be interesting to see what's being released with those. Are you going to try and get Colton without a space?
Yes, I am. That is the plan. I'm waiting for that. I've added it, and I look it up on high scores. It's no longer listed on the high scores. I can't find it, so it should be one of the names to be released, so please no one take it.
Are you gonna try and wake up early for this update?
Highly doubtful that I'm going to like camp it to the second. It's not that much of an important thing to me. The space isn't that much of a nuisance, but who knows?
I
All
wonder who's
right.
going to be J2, J3, J4.
I can make an account called that.
No, you can't.
Why not?
I don't know. I think there was a guy that was like J1, J2, J4, or something similar to that once. Can't remember. It's been so long.
You want to find the typo that I made to your name.
No, that ain't hard to find.
Well, I mean, you want to find that character name in game. That's what you're saying.
No.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
curious. Okay.
All right. And then other ones will be released throughout the month. Also, this week, they crowned the winner to the Wish You Were in RuneScape competition. And the winner was Realscapers, a fellow from Australia. So everybody voted on this. And they got some finalists here as well. So if you haven't watched these yet, head over to their contest page and you can have a watch. I've got to say, the winner, Realscapers, did a pretty good job with this and definitely deserves to win compared to some of the other competitions, video competitions we've seen in the bef in past years. So.
They actually made a little behind the scenes of their own Wish You Were in RuneScape video about like of all the outtakes that they had, and it was kind of funny because they definitely put a lot of work into that video, so they deserve
Yeah,
it.
I saw that on his channel. So, and somebody from Australia winning, that's got to be the best thing that can happen rather than, someone in the UK or even someone in the US, because those locations are much closer to England than, say, Australia, which is on the other side of the world. So, somebody
I can imagine
who...
the plane ticket they would have to pick up.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you're looking at two flights. You're looking at from Australia to the UK. You're looking at either going through Hong Kong or Dubai. With 12-hour flights between each one. So about 20 hours in the air total, I'd wager.
Wow.
To get from there. So you are right. They will be picking up quite the flight ticket for that. Also following from that, RuneFest tickets are on sale. So anybody who is going to RuneFest, you can pick up your tickets, as we mentioned before. Those went on sale this past Monday, so you can... Just get them at runefest.com. And I assume no trip for you to London this fall, Colton?
No. I do not have $2,000 to $3,000 just to throw.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
They really need to hold something here in North America, at least something semi-official. Just I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's better if it's in the UK. Just because that's where Jagex is and it's easier for them to put on and that sort of thing, and they got
architecture. But I mean like a RuneScape gathering, just like a fun little, I don't know. Nothing official like with all the JMods. They don't have to ship people out here, but I don't know.
I wonder if a player could organize something like that. Like book what? I mean not even like not even doesn't even need to be a full convention center, just get 100 people from various places coming out to an area and have a gathering like that, kind of like an unofficial RuneFest type thing. I don't know what you'd do, but be interesting to see if there's ever been any initiatives like that.
We do have our US-based JMod, Mod Lee, who's still here, so who knows?
Yeah, he could potentially organize something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, on the same vein of RuneFest, we also got the announcement of this year's Golden Gnome categories, and they are video and live streaming, an art competition, cosplay, and the Community Champion Award. So this is things relating to the Well of Goodwill, Game Blast, and in general, having a heavy focus on giving within the community. I like that last one.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes back to what we were saying when Uncle Dana was on the show, you know, that, I mean, there's so much good stuff that Jagex does community-wise and looks out for various players and causes and everything like that. And it really does trickle down to the players, as you can see here. So I am going to be watching this one. This is what I'm going to have my eye on, because I think this is the most important of all the ones out there. And it really shows what is so special about the RS community, which we continuously always talk about and has been the basis of many arguments as to why RuneScape is great.
Okay. That's man, this has been an interesting little mini week, hasn't it?
Yeah, and we got news. What news did we get today?
Oh, something about elves.
Yes. I can't begin to say how many years we have been waiting for this. But finally this month, the final to the Elven quest line will be released, Plague's End. You know, this is something we have talked about for oh so long, and it's just really amazing to see that it's actually happening.
We should get the bazooka back. That may be something with a spider. Put the sheep, put the toads in there, set them on fire, blow them out, cover a little bit of tar, and really burn better. Kill it with fire, man.
Try kill that, it with fire. Yeah. Let me know how that goes.
Oh, I ain't gonna make it past level 2.
I honestly have not felt this much hype for RuneScape in a long time, and I have to say the amount of anticipation for me on this is on par as to the final season of Star Trek Voyager and up to the final episode wondering if they were going to get home. That is what I am equating this quest release with.
This is big.
So, I mean, like, for so long, this is just something that we wanted, and it always was very elusive, and it's finally here. You almost got to pinch yourself to see if it's real.
I'll hit you with a ruler.
Okay, you do that.
All right, buy me a plane ticket.
Oh, I gotta... We gotta figure out what exactly we're gonna be doing for this, but... I'm just kind of awestruck at the moment, if you can't tell.
It's okay, Shane. It's okay.
Okay. How about you, Colton? Like, are you
as excited
about this as we are? Or?
Maybe not as much, because I started in 2004 and did take a pretty sizable break, but I'm being a pretty big lore hound. I am pretty excited about this and all the content and all the story reveals that will come in to play with all of this, so it should be interesting. I'm very excited.
Okay, I'm not even going to talk about what else is coming in August. This is the highlighting update of the month. You guys can read and watch the behind the scenes on your own to see what else is coming this month. But this is by far the best RuneScape update we have been anticipating.
I do like the Barbarian Assault, though.
Okay.
Changes to it. So
you were always a big Barbarian Assault fan.
Dude, it was so much fun in the beginning, but you never got any experience. And I remember because... I spent the whole week there, and then I went to do Tears of Gunthics, and they said, you don't have enough. Like, damn. I had to find a way to get 999,950 XP or so, because the only thing I used to gain XP that whole week was teleport to Barbarian Assault and try it out. I was like, oh, man. But it looks nice. I like it. I'm looking forward to Barbarian Assault and maybe doing some more again.
Yeah, I definitely have good memories of Barbarian Assault as well. I remember back in the olden days, the Fighter Torso was the thing to use for Slayer because it had a pretty high strength bonus associated to it. Now, of course, it's a level 40 power armor. So, all right. That is it for your RuneScape updates this week, everyone. Kind of went a bit long, but we did manage to talk about spider slaying and, of course, raise some much-needed hype for the update. We have all been anticipating the launch of the Elven City after, at least for me, 10 years of waiting. This update is finally happening.
Yeah.
Probably more for those of you guys who started off in RS Classic. So.
Like me! Now Shane hates me.
No, I don't. Anyways, I could just go on talking about this forever, but I'm not. We're going to move right on to questions right now. We got an audio question from Marumska.
Hello, Shane, Tricky, and Colton. How you doing? Marumska's back. Just noticed a lot of familiar faces have been coming into the friends chat. Do you think because of the new combat changes that makes it appear so many people that's back? Or do you think it's just because it's the summer holidays up north? I have seemed to run into progression wall. I seem to have all the levels I want. You know, the high 80s or early 90s and quite a few 99s, but... You know, besides skills, I don't seem to have anything left to do. So, maybe you can give me some suggestions. That would be great. Lastly, I just watched Twitch stream of... Evolution 2014! The biggest fighting game tournament in the world in Las Vegas. Jeez, it was hype. I was just wondering... Will you, or do you watch any esports streams, anything like that? Besides Evo, I don't watch anything else, but just curious. Lastly, quick PC question. Is 2 gig of memory enough for my Windows 7 PC? I seem to run everything quite fine. Can run decent games on it. Only problem is sometimes on some websites I seem to lock up the computer. Or is it because those flash ads are quite memory intensive? Anyway, just like to hear your suggestion. That's all. I'll talk to you next time or I'm scared out.
Okay. You know, I think whenever there's a big update that comes out, that does bring some people back. And historically, summers also have been very active as well. So I want to say it's a combination of both pertaining to that. And at the end of the day, it's not that people have been leaving RuneScape. It's just that people take breaks from it. And people always tend to come back. Sometimes we get huge droves of them coming back. And this is something we've always noticed running the fan site. Is that you have quiet periods and you have periods with more activity and whatnot. So I'm going to say it's a combination of both.
Okay.
Either of you guys have anything else on that?
No, I agree. I mean, I'd like to think that it's people coming back for good, even though I'm one of the people who will kind of go against Legacy and not be a big proponent of it. I mean, if it's bringing people back and bringing the right people back for good, then I would be all for that. But I don't know. I guess we'll see if the higher numbers stick into the fall and winter days.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Especially it's good for the economy, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Progression wall, high 80s, high 90s. That's the boat that I'm in. That's the boat that I think you're in as well, Tricky. So let's talk about this now. I don't know about you, Colton. What are if you have this issue or not?
A little bit. I find, obviously, right now, a lot of my joy in killing things. But other than that, I don't know how many quests Muromska has done, but I love questing. That's always a lot of fun to do if you haven't done all the tasks. I like to just set little goals. I don't know. I haven't really ever found myself yearning for things that I don't know what to do sort of thing in RuneScape. And if I do, I just don't play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, on the one note of tasks and whatnot, I personally have not touched the dungeoneering tasks nor the desert tasks. I also have the tasks, the elite tasks still to do in the swamp area. So those are three things that I need to do at some point.
Temple tracking.
Probably not the dungeoneering ones for quite some time, just because that's not me. But one thing that I can say that you can do that definitely helps is that given that we have 120 skill capes now, one thing I really have started taking a good amount of joy in is my farming once again, in that I'm doing it in a self-sufficient manner, in that I don't want to, you know, go camp a boss or whatever and, you know, get a huge amount of GP just to buy farming stuff. And to be fair, if I go kill Araxor, get lucky, and make some profit off that, I'm not going to go spend that on farming right away, because that's not how I'm doing farming this time around, and that's not how I'm doing herblore this time around. So basically what I'm suggesting is, now that we have 120s, is break up that journey to 120 in a certain skill that you like and do it a different way than you did it the first time. Maybe do it in a self-sufficient way. Use a new training method, that sort of thing. So that's something that's really worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, for me, I try to set up a little mini goal. I wanted to get 91 in everything before summer's end. Only one I have left is farming and divination. But since divination is coming out with the whole elven thing, so I just push that off for the time being. But only I left to do is farming, and I know what I have to do with farming. I just need Shane to kick me in the butt to do it.
Well, you should have signed up for the farming skill of the month.
No, that's not that. That just means how badly I would lose to Tim. Or whoever will be playing.
All right. So there's some ideas right there. And Remember, no one's making you log in. You got to have that drive to do that yourself. And the best way of doing that is to do things that you like. I would also highly recommend that you read, I think it was Tanis's article about Nostalgiascape, and he's kind of in the same boat that you are, so give that a read.
Whee!
Do we watch any sports game streams on Twitch? I do not.
No, I do catch up on some things on YouTube with StarCraft 2 once in a while, but I don't go out of my way to watch stream Twitch, mostly because I don't want to make another account. That's really the bottom line. Like, I've made so many accounts with so many, I was like, nah, I'm good.
I mean, I watch RuneScape streams, but I've never watched a sports stream or sports game stream or anything like that. I've seen like NBA 2K.
Yeah, like a fight stream or something like that.
Yeah.
I think if we're playing RS, we're not into football and stuff as much as many other people are.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, there's lots of people, I'm sure, who are watching that kind of thing while doing RS.
Shane, this is coming from three guys here who are Star Trek fans, and one guy here who is not exactly like the biggest jockey in the world right now.
Yeah, well, that's given.
Well, we don't know that. I don't know, Colton, if you are anything like that.
I mean, I played football in high school. Other than that, I would consider myself more of a nerd than anything, so I think I'm pretty close with you guys.
Okay. And finally, is 2 gigabytes of memory enough on a Windows 7 computer? It can run, but optimally, you're looking at around 4 gigabytes. Otherwise, you're going to have memory issues when you start piling on the programs. And the slowness of what you're feeling is related to browser extensions like Flash and whatnot and the hard drives. So try and minimize the browser extension you use. Disable Flash if you can. That makes things a lot faster for loading. And just try and run your system as lean as you can. That would be the advice I have to give there. But thank you for the questions, Marumska. I'll take the next question from Flash. Dear host, with Araxor just recently being released, I thought now would be a good time to ask this to you guys. What is your favorite boss to fight? I myself can't answer this question, seeing as I've never fought a boss, since I'm not much of a fan of combat. That's from Flash. All right, let's start with Colton.
At this point, I'd probably say Araxor. I know it's probably, it just came out. It's the hype, but I'm really enjoying it. It's a really involved fight. You've got to be the person who can really pay attention and just doesn't mind that sort of intense gameplay. If I'm feeling more relaxed, I like to go to Armadil, because that's pretty chill, even for a solo encounter. But, Araxor is really fun. I highly advise it.
Okay. As for me, I developed quite a good tactic for the Queen Black Dragon to the point where it kind of got boring. So, I enjoyed that once upon a time, but, you know, same thing back in the olden days, God Wars. We used to do quite a bit of that when you actually needed a group of competent people to do it. Now pretty much any of them can be duoed if you got the right equipment and whatnot. Back in the olden days, Mike and I fought the Kalphite Queen. This is back when RS2 was first released, when the Kalphite Queen was first released, and we did over 450 kills and only got one Dragon Chain body, and this was back when they were upwards of 50 million.
Wow.
But as I recall, you spent more money getting that one chain that you actually got.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If he had kept his party hat, he had a green party hat at the time, sold it for equipment and whatnot, that would have been the better option in hindsight.
Oh, well. Too late.
Oh, man. That sucks.
So, 1 in 450 for us is our chain record.
Yikes.
I...
Yep.
I know.
Oh no, I don't have a boss I usually fight. I mean, I like it when Shane bugs me to go with Bandos with him and Mike, and then usually I go and have a nice time. But well, in a nutshell, I'll explain more. But I'm basically trying to find people, find a clan that I can guest in that can train me in the ways of the Force.
Hmm.
Come on, Shane.
Interesting.
Okay.
I don't know who you could join, but if anybody knows a good one out there that he could join, just send him a reference along. Okay. Thank you, Flash. Which one of you would like to take this last question?
Our guest of honor.
Okay. From Parnassius?
Correct.
All right. So this question comes from Parnassius. He says, "Hello, Shane, Trekkie, and Colton. With the new skill of the month being farming, I began to look at all training methods for it. What are your feelings on non-traditional farming training, such as Wilderness Warbands, which gives exorbitant amounts of XP, as well as things like Livid Farming, which is pretty slow, but still has the ability to give around 30,000 experience per hour? I will admit, I hate Warbands, but that may be just because I got killed the one time I tried it. As for Livid Farming, it is a real grind, but because it is so mind-numbingly tedious, I don't mind it as an alternative training method. On a side note, I'd like to contribute to Trekkie's competition and add another 5 million GP to the prize pool. Happy skating to you all, Parnassius."
Woo! So the prize up to 10 mil. Sweet!
Very nice.
High five.
Oh, Wilderness Warbands.
I need to remember that, though, somewhere.
Yeah. You know, I want to say that you can get good XP from Wilderness Warbands. You can, you know, do so-so XP with Livid Farm. But for me, that totally defeats the point of farming. Mm-hmm. For me, the point of farming is not just getting the XP and calling it the end of the day. It is actually getting the XP through doing traditional farming runs, because that is, for me, what the whole skill is about and where my enjoyment of the skill comes from. Now, granted, in a skill of the month, when you're trying to get the most XP and you're competing very hard, you do want to focus on getting this XP from wherever you can get it. So, I mean, if you need to, I would say do the Warbands. But I wouldn't say to go out of your way to Livid Farm. I think I'm on the record of calling that as blasphemy towards farming.
Livid Farm is so boring. You really need to get drunk when you're doing Livid Farms. And put on... Yeah, exactly.
It's repetitive enough. You could probably do it.
I know. Or you, I don't know, take some other substance that make you just empty your brain for a while.
Or do it on very little sleep, providing you can, you know, maintain the clicking time.
Oh, that would put you to sleep, Shane. That would put you to sleep. Don't do that.
I know. I mean, it's just a horrible minigame out there, and it's just a shame that it's attached to farming. But it does give some interesting stuff.
If you had the brain power to keep doing it.
You know, the best way of winning a farming skill of the month is there's a couple of things that you can do to really supplement your XP. The first one is, well, let's just drop that one out since we don't really advocate that. But what you can do is, when it's not a farming skill of the month, is just, if you're looking for something to do to change up your various repertoire of what you do in RS, just go spend some time at Vinesweeper and do Vinesweeper every couple days, and then keep doing that until you got upwards of 1 million points to spend, and then just cash that in for 1 million farming XP when the skill of the month comes up.
Not a bad
Vinesweeper
idea.
It's been so long since I played that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's even a simple game. Vinesweeper, Minesweeper. We've all played that on the Windows 95 computers. So,
oh, yeah.
There was a time I won in 1 second flat.
Really?
Just spam clicking?
No, I literally did a beginner one, and I got super lucky where literally nothing was attached together. I was like, okay. Although the intermediate, I won the intermediate once, and that was it. I never won an advanced one. Someone on the forum is like a mini Minesweeper guru. And I was like, I beat you in the beginning version, and that's about it. You can have the title for intermediate and advanced, but you'll never take beginner unless you get that lucky again.
Okay. And another thing you can do now that the bots are gone is you can go to the Garden of Tranquility. I think that's what it's called in Alcard. And get the fruit and then create squirt juices and then transfer those in for farming XP.
That's Sorceress Garden. Garden of Tranquility quest in Varrock, yeah.
Ah, right.
That's the one where you push the white juice.
The White Tree of Gondor.
Yes.
Yeah.
People called that quest the Garden of Tranquilizers when it came out, because you had to wait for stuff to grow.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sorceress Garden, that's the one. You can do that, get the Squirt Juices. I think it's the Summer Juice that does farming.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'm so bad at those. Yeah. I just go in and I get caught every time. It just makes me mad. So,
okay. Well, what you need Summer to do gives is... you 1680 total farming experience per each one. So you do that, 28 fruits, and there you go, yada yada yada.
If you get good at it, yeah.
Done. Yep. Okay. I remember in one of the first farming skill of the months, that's something that was very popular. So
wow,
there you go. There's some methods right there, and this is available, of course, to everyone who is. Training this skill of the month, and throughout this month we'll see what happens as to who needs pointers and whatnot as to whether or not we can win this skill of the month. But I will have some advanced pointers coming around later this month to lessen the burden on you guys training this.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on to tech news right now. So thank you everyone for your questions. And if you want to send an audio question like Maramska did, just email it to questions@rsbnb.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So for your tech news this week, we have some news pertaining to the Edward Snowden leaks, in that terrorists have begun embracing new forms of encryption because of the leaks that were released by Edward Snowden. And it appears as though Android is the platform of choice. So basically, one of the terrorists in Al-Qaeda's media arm released a new Android encryption in June 2014, and it refers to it in the latest technological advancements for 4096-bit public key encryption, which basically means is that given this form of technology, it's pretty much unbreakable unless there's a problem in the implementation of the technology itself. And I remember when this whole Edward Snowden thing came down and people were wondering, is this going to have a negative effect? Is it not? And we knew it would only be a matter of time before something like this happened. And just the fact that terrorist organizations have had to adapt to this really does show the damage that was done by him. So... Mm. On the flip side, maybe that means something else for everybody else out there who does use this kind of technology in their phones, and whether or not they feel as safe as they did beforehand. Thoughts?
My thoughts on this? Well, Snowden exposed something that needed to be exposed. However, it's one of those things where it's going to be, will the end justify the means, that only history will tell?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you guys think about implications for handheld phones and computers in general on this?
Quite honestly, I think anyone who's going to be dealing with business practices, you know, rigorously with stock markets, Wall Street, or security or whatnot, they'll probably have something like this on their phones, or they get one that's provided from their company that is still, like, very encrypted to hell anyway, just to just to show how backwards the government is right now, we're still using BlackBerry.
Yep.
No, seriously, we are. I remember I was volunteering in IT, in the IT department way back when, before I got the job, and I was like, oh, what's going on? She just new phone. Her phone's not working. Okay, here's a BlackBerry. What? You guys still use this? Yeah. Huh. Okay. So everyone on the work at work who needs a phone for XYZ has a BlackBerry, and you can use it as your, well, actually, I think, I don't know how it works. I think there's a range, like after you reach a certain part away from the area, it cuts off or something. I don't know. But yeah, like literally, yeah, that does sound everyone right. uses a BlackBerry. Everybody uses a BlackBerry.
And mm-hmm. and this speaks to a general sense in security, is that you can have a new device come out, say an iPhone or a new version of a operating system, and you don't exactly know if it's secure until it's been hounded on and trampled and, you know, tried to have been breaking apart and everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, people always say, and what the Apple's documents tell us, is that the iPhone is secure, it is bulletproof. But there's just not 100% guarantee that that is the case, because we cannot see the source code inside of it. And as you were saying, BlackBerries are secure because that was the go-to business standard for so many years, right?
Well, Shane, two things. Oh, crap, what was the first thing I was going to say? Let's see. Well, first things first, interestingly, you know, there's actually business people in Japan, like very high up business people, that still uses a dumb phone because they fear that people are actually eavesdropping on their calls if they get a smartphone, which actually now, thanks to President Obama, it is actually true. But what was the – I think the other thing is saying, oh, you want to be really safe? Use a dumb phone. Thing I was going to say, but I can't remember now. You started talking, I thought about it, and then I can't remember. Stupid short attention span.
Anyways, and then the whole new version of Android. The reason behind Android, why it's the preferred platform, is because you can have the security and the new technology that comes out, and it can be instantly verified that it is secure by seeing the source code. So that is the benefit of Android, if you are interested in that. What is it?
But Shane, remember one thing. The only phone that's been proven bulletproof has been a Nokia.
Ah! 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 Ah!
Woo! High five!
And you mean literally bulletproof in that regard.
Both. What was it? Yeah. Someone did get shot by a small caliber gun and the Nokia brick actually stopped it, and yes. it's kind of like the internet meme to say that anything made by Nokia is basically bulletproof, shatterproof, and, you know, bomb proof. So you don't need a bomb jacket or whatever, or just build a house full of Nokias. And the best part of it, if you need to make a phone call, you have plenty to choose from.
There you go.
If you want to use burner phone, you again have plenty to choose from. You have a whole wall full of them. Whether they track you down by GPS is a totally different question, but you have a whole wall full of them.
And you know, I appreciate that. I appreciate your commitment to saying something is bulletproof and actually providing evidence that it is truly bulletproof in that regard. We're kind of off on a tangent now, but Let's move on to another piece of good news for Americans out there. There was a petition that came up in 2013, I believe it was, that called on the U.S. government to make unlocking cell phones legal. Because in 2012, there was a provision of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act that was formed in 2004 that expired, that made it illegal to lock your cell phones. So with this part of the DMCA expired, it meant that unlocking a cell phone was effectively a criminal act. So all this right, bill was provided by a petition, moved its way through committees, the Senate, and the House, and President Obama signed it into law today.
Hmm. Well, as I recall, it was very much sponsored by Apple.
Yeah, and most mobile companies, mobile manufacturers, I say, would sponsor this as well. Because they're interested in making hardware that people can use without restrictions. In that, if you buy a phone on AT&T on contract and they lock it to you and you're stuck on there, that's really not good for you. And in that same vein, you own the device. You should be able to do what you want with it. So this is just another example of a stupid law being struck down and amended to act in the regard of common sense and really removing one more regulation on the companies as to what they can do for you, or against you, rather. So this is good news for everyone involved.
Okay.
You ever had to unlock a phone there, Colton, or anything like that?
I have, I guess I can say it. I have bought an unlocked phone before, regardless of its legality. Other than that, never really dealt with that too much.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you wanted an unlocked phone, you would have to spend like you did and buy it outright. And if you got one on contract, you would have to unlock it illegally, which I don't think anyone ever got prosecuted for it, but it's still something that is really disappointing. And I will go on record as saying this is one of the good things that Obama has done during his presidency.
Yeah.
Okay. So let us move on to skill of the month. The farming skill of the month, as said, started today. And it might be a bit of a surprise to some of you guys out there, but I am not competing in the skill of the month.
What?
Yeah, I'm not competing in the skill of the month. I bet everyone was entering and was expecting to have a worthy race against me because they know that I would always enter these, but it's not something I'm doing, and I have a number of reasons for it that I'm not going to get into today, but depending on how this skill of the month pans out, I will talk about it later in the month. So good luck to everybody out there who is farming. And right now, let's talk about divination, shall we? This was one nail-biter of a skill of the month, wasn't it?
Take a look at that. Look at that. It's like a completely exponential linear... it's like a very linear graph right here from Flash.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
There's one day. Flash. The 16th, he really, really went hardcore, but the rest is pretty consistent.
Well, we had a nice little
lead. Flash gained 26.9 million divination XP in the month. An average XP of 869,000 a day. Second place was Tim with 24.6 million XP.
And
third
had...
place, Sorensen 57 with 10.4.
And I think we should have an honorable mention for our man and Mage Guy 08. They won 4th and 5th, and with a difference of just about 150k experience difference.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good thing to point out. And it's like, this is why I love these primary skill of the month so much with the primary skills, is because you can get true races here where it's a battle of endurance, and how much you can do per day will determine how well you do. So,
and how many movies you have
really
on your,
like
on your computer.
I really like watching the skill of the month. What was that?
And how many movies you have on your computer.
Yeah, there you go. So, big congratulations out there to everybody who worked in this. So many people had more than a million XP, more than half. So, good job all around. Okie dokie. So... achievements of the week. We only got one of them this week, and that is Poison Nova, who gets the sole mention here of getting 99 divination. Congratulations to you. Well done.
Yay! Okay. So I guess it's my turn now, ain't it?
Yes, it is.
I got a pick this week. So Shane, you remember earlier today, earlier in the week, You're talking about instant ramen and everything else. You're like talking about like how was it made by Chinese or Japanese or whatever. I was like, yeah, we eat it and I eat it, but you don't because you think it's disgusting. I just found this today, but there's actually a site that actually rates instant noodles. So, which is why I was laughing so hard when you added me to the call. I was like, there's actually a site that does this? So I'm like, really? So anyway, yeah, they have a top 10 list of best instant noodles, instant ramen noodles, best cup of noodles, top 10 spiciest noodles, and top 10 by countries. So, you know, you can take a look and see what appetizes you.
Interesting. And what
I was like,
and what, you know, just encouraged you to look this up?
Honestly, someone showed me this. I was like, we were talking about instant noodles, what the quote unquote correct way of preparing these are, and it's like, I think my friend of a friend of a friend of a friend showed me a website like this. Like, really? And I took a look at this later on. I was like, huh. I can't believe this is real. There is actually a site that will rate instant noodles.
Interesting.
And, you know, let me say, I think that I would find them interesting and tasteful if I could find some that were spicy rather than salty.
There's plenty of them that are spicy. Although, although granted, they do add a lot of salt to them to preserve flavor and everything else.
Right, but yeah.
Plenty. I don't know if there's any, but Shane, you can usually go down to an Asian supermarket if there's any in your area, and guarantee you'll find them. They're really expensive because wherever it is, they're always a little more expensive. But yeah, funny enough, we were talking about the correct way of eating these things, which is why this site popped up.
Oh boy!
We got the curry flavor, the pho, the Vietnamese noodle, the spicy, the curry, the Oriental. I didn't call it Oriental; they did. So yeah, and oh, I know that brand. Love that brand.
Okay,
it's expensive as hell, but I love that brand.
Maybe Colton can give us some idea as to the health content of these things, because isn't that something that you're interested in?
I am into food science. I gotta be honest, I've never studied ramen in particular. I just know the little things you get in the cups at the supermarket.
Basically full of salt.
It's basically a bunch of starchy carbs and some salt.
The quote unquote the correct way of doing these, of making the instant noodles, is to have actually two pots. You're supposed to throw the instant noodle in one of the pot first and let it kind of boil up, and the idea is that's where you get rid of all the wax, or quote unquote wax, that you use to keep it together in the packaging. Like, you'll actually see it if you actually do it. And then when it's done, you kind of drain it, rinse it off a little bit of water, throw it in the other pot to fully cook it. Then you're supposed to, instead of just eating plain noodles, unlike what a lot of white people do, you're supposed to throw in veggies and a little bit of meat and your seasonings and a couple other stuff too while you're eating. Not just eat the noodles with packet and salt and water.
Yeah, okay. Understood. And I'm sure if you did it that way, it would be much more appetizing than, you know, just mixing it with water, and there you go. So,
well, like I said, you got to throw some other stuff in it, too. All Asians do it.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to wrap this up right now, but first I want to remind everybody about your Action Bar contest.
Yes, so thank you, Parnassius, for donating an extra 5 million GP. I'll look for you later on. I've gotten a couple of submissions, just always looking for more, and we're planning on broadcasting to our Twitter, RuneWire, and through RS official website itself. It will end on the 15th, so, you know, give a shout out, and we are interested. I've had quite a few interesting ones that I like, And talking to some people, they are actually looking forward to seeing these because they could really use something to change their bar because ours suck. I miss my gun. All right,
very good. And I will throw in that these are all going to be voted on by the community once the process is said and done. So you'll be judged by your own peers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And since it is the first of the month, you guys can find the Informer Roundup at informer.rsbnb.com. Talks about Legacy, the Action Bar Contest, the wrap-up of Skill of the Month, and of course something very important that is happening next week. Hence why this is called Our Legacy, not only because it is the legacy mode of combat, but there's also another form of legacy that is being practiced and is going to be celebrated next week. Bonus points to anybody out there who knows what this is before reading the roundup, but it's something that is very exciting.
Okay.
Anyone know? Message me on Skype if you do. One of you two, but...
B-Day.
Okay, what have we been doing? Let's go quickly here, 1 minute each. Let's start with you, Colton. What have you been up to this week? I think I know the answer, but just...
ever since release, I've been at Fort Phasmatis, and I've been at Araxor the entire time. Still searching for that leg middle, you know? I need that in the next 20 hours or so, or else I can't complete the bow as quickly, but you know, hey, life goes on.
All right. And you?
I finally did something that I hope I never do again. I have officially retired my ghostly outfit.
Ooh.
So, yes, I have officially retired. The problem was with all the new little skill gears that you can wear to gain a little bit extra experience, I find myself wearing those more. So it's like, yeah, I think it's time to retire it because I don't wear it as much as I used to because I'm wearing the other ones to gain a little 10%, like 2%. So I've officially retired my ghostly outfit. Although I will say...
You can keepsake box it.
No, I don't feel like spending the rune coins and money. But it gave me the reason to completely upgrade my house for that little portion to hold everything. So that was good. Oops. So yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Very That's good. Basically it. Besides ports. Oh, and I leveled up in something. I don't know what it was. Oh yeah, farming. Leveled up farming good. This week.
Okay. So you only need one more.
Two more. Okay. I was 88 last week, and I came 89 this week. I just need you to kick me in the rear, Shane, so I can actually do the stuff.
Okay, we'll see what we can do.
I hate you.
As for me this week, I've been away for half the week, so I really, really haven't had a chance to play with the spider yet, even though that's something I wanted to do, but I had a series of events happen last night that kind of prevented that from happening. We're operating at a bit of a reduced capacity for doing this show right now because the main computer that I record the show on just decided to quit the iMac. So hopefully I'll be able to get this edited out for normal time tomorrow. But aside from that, I've just been doing my farming run since I got back on Wednesday. Haven't really had much time else to do anything on RS aside from that. But I have discovered some interesting things with the economy since I got back. And I will, of course, maybe share some of these with you guys as the farming skill of the month goes on. So,
oh, is that the thing you told me about it before?
Yes, it's the thing I told you to do.
I don't have that level. Unless I eat a lot of spicy soup.
Okay. Anyways, with that being said, that's it for this week's RSBNB update. Thank you for listening, everyone. And remember that, you know, if you want this delivered automatically to you, just hit that subscribe button, iTunes, and you won't have to find it every week. So for 101 Duck 1, oops, I mean Colton, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we will both see you guys back next week for a freestyle edition of RSBNB Update. See you then, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.